Speaking of green splodges, is the Green Party quite happy with its results?
Well, there was quite a lot of celebration on Saturday night, but there's also a recognition that there's going to be 3 years of problems.
Yeah, and also there's a pattern now, John, that I recognise, which is that when the left is dominating at the in the election, that Labour picks up a lot of the green vote, and then when everyone's sick at Labour, they disenchanted people go and vote Green. Some of them have gone and voted National, obviously, or New Zealand First.
Or don't vote at all.
Or don't vote at all, yeah, which is actually quite a thing. So, yeah, is it that fantastic? Because you've been around, you've been involved with the Green Party since a long time.
Are you 2002,
Oh, it's not that long then, but they're long enough. I mean, are you that excited about the fact that they're on 10%?
Well, it's not 10%? As good as it was hoped it might be, but it's certainly better than the 7.6 last time. So,
And the time
it's,
before
it's
that,
now, where it's now very close to 11, and the specials might well put it over 11.
Yeah, true. Yeah, the specials are going to do interesting things to the negotiations. And we've got, it's a weird election because they lost the one of the candidates for Port Waikato.
Yeah.
And so they've just left that. They said, okay, we'll have a by-election after the election. Now that's an extra seat. So that's one seat causing an overhang, and there's another one or two
and
or
that
three.
Said how he died. It just said they wanted to leave the family to their personal circumstances.
Fair enough. So that's a weird one. I'm just trying to explain what's happening at the moment because I suspect it's quite confusing out there. And also, actually, I have a question that I've been wondering. The Speaker of the House usually has to come from the winning party, doesn't it? And then they can't vote, so they actually need... Isn't that the case?
Yes.
And so it's no good winning by one. You need to win by two. don't you?
I think so. I think you're right, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, all right. Let's go local. That's it's not going to be... it's 3rd of November that the specials are counted, and it accounts for something like 20% of the population, so it's quite substantial. And as we discovered, young members of my family discovered, you can be completely unenrolled or anything in this country. You can just turn up and vote on the day, and don't even need your ID. So we were like, bring your ID. And then we got here and it's like, no, I didn't need the ID.
That's why it takes so long to sort out the specials, because they then check all those credentials. And is it really you, or have you voted twice with a different name?
Or did someone steal your identity? Yes. Like all that kind of thing going on, yeah.
There used to be a phrase in Northern Ireland saying, vote early, vote often.
Oh, dear. So, and that's by comparison to a lot of other countries. We make it very easy to vote here. Which is a good thing, I think. Like in other places, you have to get on the roll months ahead of time, and you have to vote in one specific location. And
And that's why the specials are so different, because very often it's people who are moving around quite a lot, so lots of tenants with insecure tenancies, and they might have been registered somewhere else before, and
first-time
registration's
voters.
Been lost. So
And according to demographics, more left-leaning than right-leaning, and that particular part of our population.
Yeah, a lot of speculation at the moment that it might be more right-leaning because there's lots of rugby supporters abroad at the moment.
How many?
Well, we'll see when we get those special rates.
But it's not that many, are they?
I think National's clinging on to hopes that it might be a right-wing special vote.
So Australia had... What did Australia have in the stadium? They had like 20,000 in the stadium when they lost in discount. They were very 20,000 very disgruntled.
Okay, and there's 500,000 uncounted votes. That into perspective.
Yeah, there might be 20,000. There might even be 30,000 New Zealanders, but the stadiums can only fit up to 100,000. So it's just it's it would be challenging to be that much. All right, let's go local, John. You've got the details for the voting booths in and around Whangaroa.
Yeah, I'm surprised how difficult they are to find, because you look on the election website and if you hunt around long enough you find these figures. But
something I was interested in before we go into party versus party is how many people voted in advance in proportion. And where am I looking, John? So that's...
You're looking at the advance voting as opposed to the voting places figures. So,
So in the town hall, advance voting, 1,411 votes on the day, 641. But having said that, on the day you could also vote in Tamata and Te Uku. So I don't quite know how to split that, whether rural people were voting when they happened to come to town or whether they just decided to wait on the day. But that's a lot of advance voting, nonetheless.
Yeah, well, we did have 2 weeks to do it, and the other one was just one day to do it. So
yeah,
certainly I advance voted. Did you?
No, I wanted to do it on the proper day, John. I don't know why. I mean, there's no logical reason
for
that.
Very traditional.
Yeah, I'm a traditionalist, totally. Yeah, through and through. And I was the thing I was looking at was looking at the different parties, and it seems to be the case that national voters are definitely, on average, more likely to vote ahead, whereas the New Zealand First voters actually were the ones who were the least likely to vote ahead of time. I don't know if you looked at that little breakdown, but
no, I didn't. Yeah. There's all sorts of things you can get out of these figures.
Yeah. Well, because I sat here all week watching people coming and going, and there was a steady stream. And then on Friday, there were a lot more people coming through, but a lot of Saturday, there was a queue to vote in the town hall. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
I was the only person voting when I went to vote.
Yeah. What day was that?
It was just after doing the show last time,
right,
a couple of weeks ago on a Tuesday.
Tuesday morning, yeah, early on. Yeah, I can see why that would be the case. Do we know the total number of votes, John? Has anyone given us that data? Was it a big turnout this year?
No, the overall turnout is down, so we haven't got the number of people voting this time. That's why I say some people stayed at home rather than voted for anyone.
Disillusioned left-wingers this time?
Presumably.
Yeah. Because the polls were wrong. We think sometimes they tend to overstate Nationals' vote, but they didn't really, did they?
Not the vote for the right. 39%, which isn't much more than the polls were predicting, but yeah, it's probably better than they might have feared.
In previous times, they've overpredicted for National. This time, they underdid it. So
yeah, the polls have swung around quite a bit. So do you think which poll you're looking at?
Do you think there's an element of guesswork in the polling these days? It feels like there's an element of guesswork.
I think there always has been. It's more difficult these days because you don't have landlines.
Yeah.
So they used to just randomly ring landlines, and they came up with a fairly accurate figure. But these days, you need to somehow find people who don't have landlines, which is a large number of people.
Yeah, and I think if they'll have one election, they'll see that they got something wrong, like National overpolled, and so they try to account for that. And then the next time, this time they underpolled. So I don't know what they do next time. But one thing I would say, I realise there's a pattern here that was consistent with the local body election last year, which is just the country's in the mood for a change. Doesn't matter who, like the mayors that were kicked out. Lots of mayors were kicked out at the local body election. It didn't really matter what their political stripes were, the colour, you know, they were out. And we were always going to get a new mayor here, but when the old mayor endorsed Axel Beck, I think there was a bit of a kiss of death for the poor guy.
It seems to be the same around the world, so I think it's probably the after effect of the pandemic. And not only the pandemic, but also the Ukraine war. So those two combined have created a lot of changes. So the pandemic meant that people were restricted. The Ukraine war has meant that we've got inflation.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued. The new Prime Minister has campaigned on the idea that Labour was causing the inflation and that he's going to do something about it. And I'm really intrigued to see how he's going to stop the Ukraine war, get oil prices down.
Well, the Ukraine war will stop at some stage, so timing's good.
If the timing's good, yeah. But yeah, a lot of external events, and some people say, well, it was Labour who spent all that money during COVID. And people are wondering, why did Labour not stand up and say, yes, of course we spent lots of money during COVID. If we hadn't, the election the economy would have seized up. And just about every country in the world did this, and yet Labour just stood there and said nothing through this election about that.
Well, they said nothing about lots of things, which is rather puzzling, and some people are commenting that really Chris Hipkins seemed to just lose any enthusiasm to win the election.
Did somebody have his kids locked up in a basement somewhere or something? it's like you have to lose this election, Chris. That's kind of what we got. So out of all of this, I keep saying we're going to talk local and we talk national, and it's entirely my fault. John, what are your takeaways from the local voting data in Whangaroa?
It's still good for me to see that Green and Labour end up with a lot more votes than National locally.
This is
the town hall here.
Yeah, the town hall.
So looking in percentages, Greens always come second, and the winning party always comes first in Raglan voting at the town hall. So Nationals got about 27% of the votes, Greens got about 25%, and Labour got about 24%.
It's pretty even, isn't it? A third of the vote each. And traditionally that's been the case here. Third National, third Labour, and a third Greens. But yep. Last time it wasn't because of the whole Labour saved us thing, that the a lot of the people were swept up.
There was also about 20% vote for other parties, in particular vote for ACT, so that was 7%, and vote for New Zealand First, which was
8%.
8%.
Yeah. I see you're trying to see.
I'm struggling to see the print on the brown.
Yeah, are you the one that put the brown there, John?
Yes, it's my mistake.
Yes. Okay, so that's things are back to normal then, I guess?
Well, certainly as far as Raglan's concerned, but of course the constituency as a whole overwhelmingly voted for Barbara Corrigar as our MP. That's despite Bill Barr doing his best to say that he didn't have any confidence in her, and he was concerned about her animal cruelty things, where she'd tried to influence Bonterra and the ministry. So he ended up with a couple of thousand, almost 3,000 votes, but tiny compared with the 21,000 that Barbara Corrigar got.
I've heard that there's a few people who would be classed as right-wing voters who didn't thought Bill Burr was a bit over the top, I think would be a nice way of putting it. You know the comment I'm thinking of.
You could also say that Barbara Corrigar was a bit over the top in trying to influence the ministry.
Yeah. Was her margin of victory less this time than last time? Do you know that, John?
Not without looking up the figures. I've not checked those. I think it's about the same, because it has traditionally been about the fifth safest national seat in the country.
Well, I had a look at this list of seats that were the most with the biggest margins, and she wasn't on it this time, and they had about 10. So yep. The highest was like a 19,000 majority, which Mark Mitchell, the former mercenary from Whangaparoa, he got that.
Because Angela Roberts did get 8,500 votes. So.
Do you think she got a little bit of extra support after she got slapped in the face by a presumably National or ACT supporter in Inglewood?
Maybe, but
I voted for it. Like, I decided to vote for her just because it's a very small signal, because our votes are very small, that I didn't think that was a good idea to be slapping candidates.
And in Raglan, she got the majority of the votes.
Right.
Raglan always votes different from all the rest of the constituency.
I know. We're just this weird little place compared to everybody else. I don't know what to say. I'm looking at the Tamata and Tiuku votes. They look more like what the rest of Taranaki King Country is, getting up to almost 50% for National, 17% for Taranaki King Country, and 6% for Green. Actually, no, there is a bit of a difference. There's a higher weighting for Green and less for Labour in our Tamata and Tiuku. I guess that's all there's a few hippies out in Tamata and Tiuku as well, aren't there?
Presumably, because you look at the Whatawhata figures, and that's quite a bit lower for the Green vote, so that's just under 6% for a Green vote in Whatawhata.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few people out in those areas who have probably bought some land to regenerate bush or to do a permaculture paradise, and that sort of thing, which we get around Whangaroa. So, yeah. So, is any of this surprising, John?
No, well, I think it's surprising maybe how normal it is. Given the upset that there's been across the country.
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah.
So Raglan's not changed very much compared with what it's normally been at elections.
Yeah, maybe Raglan is a bit, we do our own thing a little bit out here and don't pay that much attention to what's going on nationally. And Taranaki King Country as a whole is typically conservative and always conservative. Yeah.
And we've been looking at the Taranaki King Country figures up till now, but there's also the Hauraki Waikato, which, of course, we've actually changed MPs there.
How surprised were you at that, John?
I wasn't greatly surprised, but yeah.
Had you paid
it was a 9,000 majority that Nanaya lost. So
that's, on the face of it, that is surprising. What do you think drove that? Were you paying attention to what was her full name? Hold on, it's written down.
I've got it written down somewhere, but I can't remember it offhand.
Hannah is her first name.
I can remember that she was 20 and is now 21, so she's the youngest candidate or the youngest MP.
Yeah, I mean, the demographics of the Māori community skew a lot younger than the rest of the country, so that's a bit of it, but a big swing like that, I guess it's a disgruntlement with Labour. And also, I was reading somewhere that Nanaia Mahuta was at a place where people were planning a campaign for something, and she said to them, don't use me in your social media at the moment. So I think there's been, is it the Three Waters controversy that she's borne the brunt of that?
Yes, but again, it seems odd that they never defended that, rather they retreated from it.
They're just such a bunch of wusses, Labour. Like, it really frustrates me. Like, I mean, probably not going to vote for them anyway, but they could at least be a little stauncher.
Because you look at the Hauraki Waikato vote, the Māori roll vote in Raglan Town Hall, and it's quite a bit different in the people they voted for as a party.
Yeah, but the numbers are tiny, John. I don't think we can read anything from that.
So just 13% voted Green as compared with 25% on the general roll.
So that is...
Labour had a much higher vote at almost 40%. National had virtually no vote at 3.5%.
Three votes. They got three votes at Raglan.
And New Zealand First didn't do much better. They got five votes.
Those numbers are so small, I don't know if we can read much into it. I really don't.
Te Pāti Māori got 29, which was almost as high as Labour. So 32 for Labour and 29 for Te Pāti Māori.
Yeah. It's a big change. And that's almost all the Māori electorates, a big swing from Labour to Te Pāti Māori. And... Debbie Ngarua-Packer was saying she was saying recently that they thought they got two more seats that could possibly go their way, because hers swung. She didn't win initially at the election last time, and then the specials were counted and she won her seat. So they could get another couple, and the only one that they're not going to get is Mika Whaitiri's electorate. She's the one that she left somewhere because she was under a bit of a scandal.
She was a Labour MP. Yep.
Yeah, and there was some scandal, so maybe the voters in that electorate didn't take to it that well.
So, yeah, and of course we still don't know whether we're going to have Winston Peters in the government or not. It's going to depend on the special votes.
We better hope we are. Winston's the only one that can save us now, John.
In some ways, he's going to be even more right-wing than the two parties that are likely to be in.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, like, he set New Zealand First up to oppose neoliberalism, right? He left the National Party when Ruth Richardson was the finance minister, who she was laying waste to our welfare system and doing the economy in a very different way, following on from Roger Douglas. And Winston has been opposed to that always.
Yeah, on economic issues he'll be more liberal. On social issues he'll probably be less liberal.
Yeah, I think I'm more concerned about the economy because the ACT Party's ideology is the same as Liz Truss, the Prime Minister in the UK, who lasted a matter of weeks and trashed the economy in about the space of a week. Like, that was quite remarkable. She was one of the sort of those neoliberal true believers. And within, I don't know, how quickly was it? Was it a week or two? The Bank of England had to step in to rescue the economy over there.
I think she's still saying she should have been given a chance.
But extreme right-wing people in the UK thought she went too far. So, and that's the same ideology that ACT was was created for. So Winston is literally the last person who can save us from that scenario happening to our country. If the new PM is smart, he'll play both parties off against each other and just do what he wants, but I don't know.
He's saying he's talking to both parties, so that might well happen.
But he doesn't need to go into coalition with either of them because he can turn to one or the other to get the support he needs to pass.
Yep.
Or is he going to need both? He might need both.
Depends on the specials.
We'll see. Okay. We'll see. This is The Intrigue. If you're into political intrigue, There's plenty of it over the next 2 weeks, everyone will be second guessing the vote. So, John, yeah, should we move on from this? The detailed voting. I guess the main takeaway is we're back to our usual third Green, third National, third Labour for voting in the Raglan Town Hall.